We're talking with Jennifer Otter Bickerdike, author of a new book out now, Why Vinyl Matters, a manifesto by and for fans of the vinyl format. Jennifer, you spoke with so many people in music, musicians, and industry folks, including Lars Ulrich, Fatboy Slim, Henry Rollins, people from labels like Beggars, Nick Hornby, author of High Fidelity, Third Man Records, and the co-founder of Record Store Day. How did you figure out your interview list?
First of all, congrats and thank you for getting my last name right in one go, girl. You do it. That was awesome. I have to say that when I got married to my English husband, I remember calling my grandma and being like, "Yeah, I'm marrying this guy, this English guy." She's like, "What's his last name?" And I said Bickerdike, and she laughed for about 20 minutes. So thank you. The way I got my list together of people I want to interview is just literally by being a total fangirl, thinking. And it was being quite selfish as well. I was kind of like, who would I want to talk to? So I wasn't really thinking of the reader necessarily. I was thinking of if I had to sit and talk to someone for like an hour that I didn't know, was not a personal friend, whose opinion would I be interested to get? And whose opinion and thoughts would I be interested to read? So I literally started it for myself as being someone that admires all the different people. Like, there's no one in the book that I don't previously think is awesome in various ways. So that's how I started. And I mean, I got about a third of everybody I asked. So, you know, one of my first people that I got was Henry Rollins. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because I literally found his email online, emailed him, and I'm like, this is going into some random like spam black hole. And within probably an hour, he emailed me back and was like, listen, if you get, because I didn't even have a publisher yet. He said, listen, when and if you get a publisher, I'll give you an awesome interview. But, you know, in the meantime, use my name. You can attach my name to your project. And that really kind of helped kickstart me getting other people, because to have Rollins involved gave it credibility.
Oh, yeah.
So that was how, so the ball got rolling on the big names and the big people in the book.
Yeah, you got some great people on there, and it was really fun. Very varying views throughout the whole, not just all musicians, but just kind of varying views of the whole industry and people who are passionate about music and vinyl.
It's funny because some of the, you know, you think that some people, like I have Fab Five Freddy, the graffiti artist and obviously mentioned in the Rapture by Blondie, I thought he'd be really into vinyl, but he more was like, vinyl's over, why are you talking about vinyl? Like, that was kind of his vibe. And, like, you know, as an interviewer, you hang up from one of those conversations and you're just like, oh, no, how am I going to, you know, this isn't with the narrative that I'm trying to create. But to have that opposing view, I think, actually gives the book quite a bit of balance. Instead of it being the whole thing being like vinyl's great, it definitely is a mix of opinions like that.
Oh, Fatboy Slim had some really surprising sort of cynical views about records in today's world, too, which was surprising to read.
Yeah, that was one of my, in fact, I have so many funny stories, which I won't go into right now, but the whole book is, you know, I'm meeting people that I've been a fan of for a long time. And with Norman, I actually did that interview at his house and in Hove, which is, it was a beautiful sunny day. His house is right on the beach in Hove. And it was just hilarious because I kept forgetting that he was Fatboy Slim because he's just so cool and like normal and fun to talk to. And when he was saying, you know, like, yeah, they'd given up on the vinyl and he's just using, you know, everything's digital for him. I'm like, is it really? Come on now. Like, I can't believe it. Except with more profanity that I can say on the radio, obviously, because I just could not believe it. I'm like, there's no way, dude, come on, you know? And you could see in his face, I don't know if it comes across in the book, but you could see in his face that it was really hard for him to, you know, he said he got kicked. I think the quote is he got pulled kicking and screaming into the 21st century, not using vinyl. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was really kind of fun. But then his whole kind of, but he was like almost like misty-eyed talking about his record collection at times. So it was a really great interview to do.
One of my favorite lines from your book was that with Fatboy Slim, he compared watching a DJ use vinyl akin to watching someone ride a penny farthing around the room.
Oh my God, I can't believe you knew what that was, being American, by the way. Because I said, what is that? And he's just like, it's this big, it's a bike with a big wheel and a small, I'm all, I don't know what that is, dude, I'm sorry. And he like drew a picture of it on a piece of paper for me. Which is, again, like, that's why it's so funny, because he could have just like Googled a picture of it, but he drew a picture of it for me.
So one of the main questions you ask everyone throughout the book is, why is vinyl important? How do you personally answer that question?
I think vinyl is really important because it's a tangible piece of your identity that you're holding in your hands. And, you know, I did my PhD was on Joy Division, believe it or not. And one of the things I wrote about with Joy Division is you're listening to these songs that Ian Curtis wrote, and his lyrics, they're things that you feel and you know, emotions you have, but you were not able to put those emotions really into words. And that's why vinyl is important, because it is that kind of part of your identity and who you are. You may not be able to express it yourself perfectly, but that piece of music explains who you are as a person. And, you know, a CD is great, but like the example I always use, my aunt, God bless her, this is probably like a decade ago. I remember I went to her house for Christmas, and like the total white trash that she is down deep, she'd put CDs all over the pine tree in the front of the house to decorate it. And I was like, huh. And I remember when I was telling her that I was doing the vinyl book, she was just like, nobody cares about vinyl. And I said, what about like all of your Van Halen collection that you had from like the 70s and 80s? Do you still have those? And she's like, of course. And so there's that difference between she'd hang up like, you know, a CD out in the elements to be destroyed by the weather and have birds peck at it. But God forbid anybody touch her vinyl. Like CDs are just so much more disposable than vinyl. And, you know, vinyl is quite fragile. You have to take care with it. It's just a completely, I think it again represents that emotive part of ourselves in a way that other formats don't.
So since writing Why Vinyl Matters, stats came out from last year, and they've been increasing over the years, but vinyl accounted for 14% of all physical album sales last year. Where do you see the future of vinyl in the coming years? Do you think this trajectory is a trend, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I get asked that question actually a lot. Like, has it peaked? Like Discogs, for example, I had to do this like roundup kind of thing for Discogs. And I don't think it's peaked. I think that I don't think vinyl's ever going to be the main format like it was before, you know, like before CDs came along. That's not going to happen. But what's going to happen is people are going to discover an artist. Maybe it's on streaming or download or it's one of the other things that a digital native, you know, that's how they're learning and first-hand contact often with music or YouTube. And then to kind of go that next step, people are going to buy the vinyl because when you're just listening to something online, it's like, oh, this is good. But then when you physically purchase something with money and then you have it in your house, it kind of solidifies your relationship with that artist or band. Like, I really do like this band. I want to support this artist. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is what the trajectory we're going to have. It'll be kind of like the mainstream will be the streaming and the downloading, and the real fans will be going for the vinyls. You know, that will continue to be the way that it goes.
So throughout the book...
Really quick, I think one thing that is keeping it from that tipping point, though, is how expensive vinyl is. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, with more pressing plants opening up, hopefully that price point will come down. And so people will have more access to vinyl in terms of the entry level with the price will be more doable for more people.
Yes. So in your book, a lot of the interviewees kind of talk about vinyl as, and not just in your book, but I've seen other places too, where people talk about vinyl as sort of a nostalgia factor. And there's maybe an age group that's interested in this, maybe the millennials or maybe older Gen Xers. But I was noticing on the stats from 2017 that Ed Sheeran's new one was in the top 10 album sales for vinyl. So Do you think that says something about what age is engaged in buying records? That seems younger. It skews younger than I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of another thing is there definitely is this, and there is that hangover still of the, like, older white dude buying the records. And that definitely mm-hmm. is a contingent. But what's happening is you have, you know, kids that have never been in a record store going into a record store and discovering how it is like a museum of culture and music. And Ed Sheeran's such a great example because he kind of crosses over. Like the same aunt that hung the CDs on the Christmas tree, I was doing an interview with Ed Sheeran, and like I can tell her so many other people. She's like, oh, my God, that she doesn't care, but she's like, oh, my God, I love Ed Sheeran. So it's like that kind of crossover appeal. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, again, having that product by Ed really opens up the marketplace for kids. Like mm-hmm. they see how cool the product looks. They love Ed Sheeran. They identify with Ed Sheeran, and being able to purchase that again can be an entryway into other kinds of, you know, vinyl products. And I, you know, the fact that it's even available on that format, I think is a really important thing, because a couple years ago, most, you know, not that many artists had their releases on vinyl right away. So Ed having that as part of the package of the stuff he put out, I think is really powerful.
Mm-hmm. So Record Store Day is approaching this Saturday all around the world. We're having our own celebration with a pop-up record store of donated records, because we don't have a record store in our area that celebrates. So, and I know this has been a kind of transformative thing in general terms, I guess, for the vinyl market. But what do you think Record Store Day, what do you think its impact has been on vinyl?
I mean, it's been a huge thing. I mean, I just wrote something recently about Record Store Day, and one of the things that is most, I think I may say this in the book actually, is it's like this beautiful story, like the revival of vinyl and Record Store Day, like those two stories together. Because you have like all these massive, huge corporations versus this format that's been pretty much discarded and independent record stores which have been priced out of the marketplace. And yet, against all odds, these two things together revive the physical part of the music industry. So, you know, I think it's people going into and celebrating those community spaces, because a lot of those indie stores are a community space in terms of all different people in those places, meeting and exchanging ideas, et cetera, et cetera. And those, I mean, they were almost extinct before Record Store Day happened. And just vinyl is that perfect kind of format, again, at the perfect moment where the kids that had only come up with digital were coming of age enough to be able to go and purchase albums. So now like a 20-something, you know, Record Store Day has been going since they were probably like a tween or a teen, mm-hmm. when they first started probably getting into music. So now that's just normal for them. So the vinyl part, I think, has been a massive, massive attraction to Record Store Day.
You gave me the chills at the beginning of that answer. That
what did I say? I can't remember. What did I say?
You just talked about the blending of the unlikely resurgence of both vinyl and record stores and how it's just kind of come to this perfect moment of an unlikely success story, I guess, in a way, is kind of where you were going with that. But
it's really, I mean, it's amazing, because I think as someone that was not raised, my parents were like, this is the record store, but that's, you know, I came of age going to record stores, and, you know, very much the whole, it's very much like an 80s sort of childhood memory, which a lot of people, it was funny because a lot of people I interviewed for the book were in my same age bracket, and there was this kind of like repeated narrative of, I got on my banana seat bike, or I got on my BMX bike, and I rode to the store, you know, because you can't drive when you're like 12, 13 years old. And this kind of idea, like I know for me, it was going to like, you know, the rough side of town, a.k.a. the college area. You know what I mean? So it was like riding my bike to the college area of town, having someone with dyed hair, who in the 80s, that's like, woo, outrageous. Having someone with like a nose ring, ooh, crazy. You know, and it's like a communion. Like they're giving me my first Smiths record. They're giving me Ned's Atomic Despin. They're giving me all these records, you know, Sonic Youth and, Husker Du. There's like these older cool kids that seem kind of dangerous. That's how you get educated into different ideas and different, you know, just a different way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And that happens at a record store in a way that I don't think it happens anywhere else, really.
So the introduction in your book states a few facts, like the most mentioned album throughout the book, which was Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. It also mm-hmm. gives the number of records bought by the author, you, in the name of research, which was 108
yes.
records. Can you tell us about any of those records you bought for research sake, of course?
Well, what would happen is, like, I'd be, like, listening to something on my computer when I was writing or talking to people, and I'd be like, oh, my God, this would sound so much better on vinyl. Oh, my God. And, like, I got this weird obsession with 45s.
Oh, yeah.
So I started just, like, buying, like, I had found, this is so random, I found Betty Davis Eyes on 45, and I'm like, I must have that. So I was buying a lot of 45s off Discogs and eBay, but then also just going into, you know, because I was going into a lot of record stores and was talking to people and just kind of taking in the whole culture, and that was really, really fun. And it's weird because I found myself almost trying to, like, build up the record collection my parents had when I was a kid, which was really strange. Like, I'm, like, buying all these Billy Joel records my mom had, purchasing. I mean, this one, like, people were not that into this, but I was buying, like, Huey Lewis and the News Sports. And it wasn't really, I think I was just trying to recapture when I was first excited about music. And those were the records, for good or for bad, that got me really pumped on music when I was first getting into it.
We've been talking with Jennifer Otter Bickerdike, author of a new book out now, Why Vinyl Matters, a manifesto by and for fans of the vinyl format. And don't forget about Record Store Day. This Saturday, we're going to be celebrating from 12 to 5 at Bridget's Pub in Bemidji. Hope to see you there. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for being on New Music with me. And good luck on your book.
Thank you so much, darling. Available at all fine record stores, bookstores, and, of course, Amazon.